We don't have actual hurricanes here, but more than 60 years ago, a similar disaster hit the Northwest. On Memorial Day, 1948, a flood destroyed the town of Vanport, Oregon. And if that name does not sound familiar to you, it's because Vanport doesn't exist anymore. It was located just north of Portland, built near the end of World War II as temporary public housing for people who had moved to Oregon during the war. Vanport was the most racially diverse town in Oregon at that time. Sean Daly is a professor at Concordia University in Oregon. He's been collecting stories of people who survived the flood, and he told Jeannie Yandel part of the reason Vanport flooded so quickly is because the town was a little bit like a bathtub.
Essentially, it was surrounded on all sides by different water bodies and protected by a series of dikes. One of those supposed dikes was actually a railroad berm that some people or some historians claim was not really meant to hold back a epic flood event or a 100-year flood event. And in 1948, after record snowmelt and really severe rainstorms, the rivers, both Willamette and Columbia and their tributaries, swelled way above where they normally would be, to the point that people were patrolling the dikes looking for something to happen. And that railroad berm burst, and the entire city flooded from the water that came through.
That all happened in one day?
It pretty much happened over the course of the late afternoon and early evening. The major burst came at about 4 or so p.m., and by the evening, the city was underwater. And by the next day, you could see images of the water up to the tops of two-story houses.
Were people prepared for that kind of flood?
Yeah, that's a yes and a no answer. So to say that people were prepared, I think people understood in the abstract that a flood could happen. And again, I mentioned that there were people who were patrolling the dikes because of the high level of water. The entire east part of Portland there is swampland, and so has been prone to flooding throughout its entire history. Even today, there's a very complex series of levees that navigate that. So people were aware that something could happen, but they were reassured by a pamphlet that came out that, the dikes would hold. And so most people had gone about their day assuming that all was fine. Children, away from their parents, and the people I have spoken to remember this, were watching a movie when the sirens went off to indicate that there was, in fact, a flood. There were people who remember going into their homes, and parents hadn't packed anything. They were just trying to grab stuff to be able to leave. So I think that there's levels of preparation, in some ways very similar to what any of us would expect with a natural disaster. We can know that there's an abstract notion that there could be a problem, but most of us don't have our earthquake kits or emergency bags ready to go in case it actually happens.
Well, what happened to the survivors of that flood?
Survivors were spread out throughout the city. So, people left pretty quickly. There was only one major exit way or an entryway to Vanport, so they all had to stream through that particular space. Some families were willing to take in Vanport refugees, and so they went to Red Cross sites, they went to homes in Milwaukee, or far away in Milwaukee, Oregon, and some went right over to Northwest Portland to a community called Giles Lake. Many of them were taken in and then would eventually find homes throughout the rest of the city. The one thing that's important to note is that after the war, and this is 3 years after the war, the city itself did dwindle in population from where it had been at a peak of about 40,000 to 50,000 to approximately 18,000 at the end of the war. And so it was smaller when the flood actually happened.
Yeah, 18,000 people is hardly a ghost town. Why was Vanport never rebuilt?
Vanport wasn't rebuilt, I think, for a couple of reasons. Number one was that public sentiment in Portland wasn't in favor of rebuilding it, as you already alluded to. People in the city were not going to go and try to rebuild this other city in town. It was a housing project, or federal housing project, and it was built up during the war. And so now that the war was over, there wasn't that same need to run the shipyards. I'll also say that I think that the political will that could have been, it wasn't there from the powers that be in the region. And there's also the point, too, where the adults, and this is from readings and not from anyone I've interviewed, the housing was made to be quickly built. And so by that 6 or 7 year mark, some of the houses weren't in the best of shape. And so some people were ready to go.
Sean, as you've mentioned a couple of times, you've been collecting stories from people who lived in Vanport and from people who survived that flood in May of 1948. What story stands out to you?
There are a couple of stories. I talked to a lot of people who were children during that time. And one of the things that I think is interesting and that contrasts with a lot of the written record is how fond many of those children were of Vanport as a place to grow up. I hear a lot of stories of people who were born elsewhere in the country in dire poverty in Oklahoma or Texas or Arkansas, and who fell in love with the greenery of Oregon and sort of the sitcom quality, 1950 sitcom quality of Vanport, where they had a fishing hole and baseball fields. And these people share these recollections of the community that they knew and the schools they went to and how those were brand new. And I'm always captivated because, you know, when I first started reading about Vanport, you read about this place as a terrible place to live. It was falling apart. And it was not liked by Portlanders, but these people who were children, you know, have fond memories of the movie theater. Like, you know, all of them actually share like movie theater memories of this gigantic structure where they would go to socialize. You know, I also was very touched by a couple of stories of the aftermath of the flood. One woman that we spoke to who lives on the beach here in Oregon now remembered having her family, which had multiple siblings, I think she had five, being taken in by a family in Milwaukee, Oregon that also had five children. And it was sort of like a Brady Bunch, she described it, like, you know, coming together. And this family, like, you know, kept them in their house for weeks on end as they were prepping to be able to get ready to move someplace else and to survive after this time.
Well, what do you think the lasting impacts are of the city of Vanport and the flood that took it away?
There's a couple of directions I can take with that. You know, I'm familiar with some people who think that it changed the ethnic makeup of the city, and I don't necessarily believe that in the sense that I think that the city has always had a small population when it comes to, you know, minority ethnic groups. I think that it didn't change their treatment. I think that the city went out of its way over the next 50 years to do whatever it could to still harm that population. I think that in that case, Vanport sits as one of several moments of sort of sad racial and ethnic history in Portland and can be used as part of a sort of a narrative stream about that, like, and should be in my mind. Yeah, but ultimately, and again, I'm biased because I'm an educator, I think that the importance of Vanport is this conversation about the way communities remember their history and remember disasters like this. And I'm sure I could go on in several other ways. I'm very passionate about Vanport as a topic. I'll return to just the notion that this is a wonderful local story in Portland that has some national implications educationally. And I think that, honestly, that may be its legacy.
Sean Daly is Chief Innovation Officer and Assistant Professor of Education at Oregon's Concordia University. You can see a video of what Vanport looked like after the flood. Go to our website, kuow.org.